this year we're really going to have the exciting opportunity to learn together. And I'm excited that we'll have the opportunity to learn halacha. But I think what's important is, before we get into it, to just frame a little bit of what it is that happens when we learn. And I think that's a very, very important introduction for all of us, because so often people are engaged in the experience of Limud HaTorah, and they really don't understand what it is that they're really trying to do. What I'd like to do is begin with the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Aleph. So the Gemara tells us that there are potentially three mitzvahs HaTorah, three different mitzvahs that we find that lo haya velo asa lios, that are completely impractical, almost like irrelevant. They never happened and they never will happen in the history of the world. What are those three examples? So the Gemara says number one is the mitzvah of Ben Sorer Umorer. We're going to read about it in Parshas Kisetze, where the Torah says we have this institution of a wayward child who's not behaving the way he's supposed to, who's not doing what he should do. And after following a whole list of qualifications, we're told that he has to be brought by his parents to the Beis Din, and they have to administer the death penalty on this child. Can you imagine? The parents themselves have to be there and witness and be a partner to the death of their own child. That's the story of Ben Sora Mara. Now the Gemara says one opinion is, lo haya v'lo asad liyos. Ben Sora Mara never actually happened. It's never going to happen because the specific qualifications, the particular circumstances that make it possible for a Ben Sora Mara to happen are almost impossible. It says that his mother and his father have to have the same tone or pitch of voice. Have you ever met anybody where the husband and wife both have the same kind of voice? It's like sometimes they say the same words, or they say the same slang, or use the same kind of dialect, but to have the same pitch of voice is almost impossible. But outside of that, the Gemara says there are so many specific qualifications that are necessary to make a Ben Sora Mara a reality, and therefore it is something that practically is impossible, which leads the Gemara to say this is one of the three mitzvahs that lo haya v'lo asad liyos. The second the Gemara says is the Parsha of Ir HaNidachas, which we just read in Chumash, which is all about a city where you have a Orthodox population, everybody is Jewish, and yet, somehow, Yatsu Anashim B'nei Belial, we're told that there are individuals who go out from that city and turn the whole city upside down, and everybody goes astray, and they all serve Avodah Zarah, and the Torah tells us we have to destroy it, we have to eradicate the remembrance of that city, no one should ever think about that city again. Again, the Gemara says, so unlikely that this is going to happen, and therefore we are told, Lo haya v'lo asad liyos, it never happened, and perhaps, potentially, it will never happen in the history of the world either. And the third example the Gemara gives is the story of the Bayis HaManuga. So we have a Parsha in Chumash, in Parshas Metzora, where we're told about the Bayis HaManuga, which is an individual is able to get Tzaras, which is a miraculous phenomenon. It's something that is supernatural. Someone speaks Lashon Hara, somebody does something wrong, suddenly they get some kind of infection, skin disease, and now they know that they're being punished for what it is that they did wrong. Anyway, from that, the Torah then launches into the story of the Bayis HaManuga. Not only do we have the possibility of a human being getting a skin condition, but we can then have the possibility of a house having a tzaras on it as well. And the Gemara says this is impossible. Lo haya v'lo asad liyos. This is something that never actually happened. So the Gemara then asks the very obvious question. If we have Ben Sora Umore, if we have an Ir HaNidachas, and we have a Bayis HaManuga, which never happened and practically will never happen in the future, then why are they listed in the pages of Chumash? Why waste any space talking about these mitzvahs that are basically irrelevant? What's the reason for it? And the Gemara answers, Drosh V'Kabel Schar. Drosh V'Kabel Schar means, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us more opportunity to learn Torah, more opportunity to gain reward for the Torah that we study, and therefore he gave us these three extra mitzvahs. Now I ask you, number one, am I talking too fast? No? Yeah? That's fine. I ask you number two, and more importantly, I'll slow down. We have a pasuk in Sefer Iyov where we're told, Arucha me'eretz mida urechava mine yam. That's a reference to the Torah itself, which means, Arucha me'eretz mida, it is immeasurable. The amount of Torah that one can ever learn is just limitless. Urechava mine yam. You ever went out to the ocean? I just spoke a couple of months ago in May. I was in Australia. So I was there for 10 days. It was an amazing, uplifting experience for me and my wife. It was really very, very special. But one of the days that we had a time off, we had two afternoons that we were able to see a little bit around Australia. We went to the Great Ocean Road. And I was out there looking out at the Indian Ocean, where it meets the Pacific. And you look out at this ocean and you see just endless and endless miles upon miles of ocean. And you say to yourself, you ask yourself, who could have possibly created this? This is so overwhelming to see this. It's so unbelievable. So when the Navi Iyov describes, it means when you look out at miles and miles of ocean and you understand how to count and to measure how much water is in there is impossible. Well, that's the experience of Limud HaTorah. I can learn for the rest of my life and I still won't master and know everything there is possibly to know in the area of Torah study. So why is it that the Gemara says, Drosh v'kabel schar? It's as if we didn't have enough Torah to worry about, so God had to do us a favor and give us three more things to study, Irani Dachas, and the story of Ben Sora Mora, and the story of Bais HaManuga, because without it, we would have been bored. I mean, we have plenty to learn, plenty to study, plenty to master without it. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu find it necessary to include these? That is the question that is asked by the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe who wrote the Sefer HaTanya, which is a very fundamental Sefer, not only for Lubavitcher Hasidim, but for anyone who cares about Hashkafa. It is a very, very fundamental work. So he writes what in his understanding is the answer to this question. It is something that Rav Soloveitchik expanded upon in the Sefer Ish HaHalacha, and it goes as follows. The Baal HaTanya writes, we describe the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as follows. We say it every day in the Davening. Gadol Hashem u'mehula miyod, v'ligdulaso ein cheker. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beyond our understanding. V'ligdulaso ein cheker, and there's no way to properly, really concretize what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. Ein cheker, the greatest theologian, can't really size up what the Ribono Shel Olam is. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say that He is the Ein Sof. What does it mean to be Ein Sof? Limitless, He's infinite. He's so much greater, He's such an entity that is so much larger than anything we can understand. The Navi Yeshaya describes it as that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, v'lo darcheichem derachai. The way we think is not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. The way we interpret events in the world is not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu interprets. Ki gavu shamayim me'aretz, ken gavu derachai midarcheichem, u'machshavosai mimachshavoseichem. What does that mean? The Navi says, the same way there's a chasm between the heaven and earth, between Shamayim va'aretz, so too is the major break between our level of understanding and the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very, very hard to be involved with the Ribono Shel Olam when we really cannot fathom what His essence is all about. I don't know if any of you are dating or have dated or will be dating in the future, Amir Tashem, but wherever you're up to in that journey, it doesn't have to be dating. Any relationship that we have. Anyone here ever had a pen pal? It's an old school thing to do, right? So I find the whole concept is very complicated. Why is it complicated? Somebody asks you to develop a relationship with an anonymous person who you don't know. You know nothing about them. You don't know their family. You don't know their school. You don't really understand their community. So you know nothing about the essence of that person and you're asked to develop a relationship with them. So the first letter or two or three or four are very awkward. Till you start building a picture or an image of who that person is and then you can come to appreciate what they represent and what they are. But without that, without really understanding who they are and what makes them who they are, it's very, very hard to appreciate who the person actually is and to love them. So the same would go. If I would be asked to go on a date with someone who I really don't know anything about, the beginning might be a little bit awkward because I have no information about this person. I don't even know where to start. How am I supposed to come to love someone that I know nothing about? And this is the question we need to ask ourselves when we talk about our obligation to come to an understanding and a love and appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're telling me that the essence of this entity called HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that is so beyond our comprehension, that is Ein Sof, that is Lo Machshavosai Machshavoseichem, that is Gadol Hashem U'mehula Miyod V'Ligdulaso Ein Cheker, if all of that is true, then ask the Baal HaTanya, how am I supposed to come to a sense of Abbas Hashem? How am I supposed to come to love something or somebody or some entity that I have no understanding of, that I cannot come close to? It's not the way it works in any of our lives. And the answer, writes the Baal HaTanya, is, I'm going to read you his words, Tzimtzeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ritzono V'Chachmaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzamtzeim, He limited his essence. He distilled it, is a better word. B'taryag mitzvah HaTorah v'hilchoseihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu distilled his essence into the mitzvah HaTorah and into the halacha. Which means, says the Baal HaTanya, Harei kisha'adam yodea umasik b'siklo psak zeh. When a person comes to an understanding of a halacha, or a pasuk in Chumash, or a Mishnah, or a Gemara, or anything, a parak of Tehillim, when a person comes to that appreciation, hareze masig v'tofes umakif v'sichlo, ritzono v'chachmaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have not just come to an understanding of a pasuk in Chumash. You have not just come to a deeper appreciation of something that you learn. You have actually come, says the Baal HaTanya, to an understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Torah represents the essence of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is and who He is to us. And that is what's most important about this. This is why Rav Soloveitchik writes that when he came to a Chiddush in Torah, when he came to an opportunity for himself to really understand something that he never understood before, he said it was the most humbling feeling he ever had. Because you're coming deeper and closer to Ein Sof. You're coming to a deeper understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. The Ramban writes in his Akdama, on his commentary on Chumash, he quotes in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh that the entire Torah is referred to as Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entirety of Torah is referred to as the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? Explains the Nefesh HaChaim, what it means is, we don't have the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki lo yirani ha'adam achai. The Pasuk says, you cannot experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in person like the way we experience others who we have relationships with. And yet, the only way to come to the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning the Torah. So I think it's very important to have this background. Because sometimes, you can have people who learn Torah and it's an intellectual pursuit and it's very engaging and it's very exciting and perhaps it's very interesting. But perhaps what they're missing is understanding that by learning the Torah, they are coming closer to an appreciation and understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's the only way to come to an understanding of Him. It's Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to know the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The only way you're going to get it is by learning His Torah, is by understanding what the Halacha means to all of us. And as a result of that, even if we have three particular mitzvahs that lo haya v'lo asad lios, even if you have Ir HaNidachas and Ben Sora Morer and Bayis HaManuga, which are basically irrelevant mitzvahs, it doesn't matter because they still are part of the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Whether in practice we're going to do anything with it doesn't matter, but by studying them, you will come to the composite whole, to the complete picture of who the Ribbono Shel Olam actually is and what He represents to all of us. That is what Limud HaTorah is all about. The mashal that my father often gives is, if you have young children, and you want to teach an elementary school child all about an understanding of atomic energy. Now the kid is not of the mental capacity, it's not because he's learning disabled, but it's because it's way beyond his comprehension. But you want to start building fundamentals. You want to explain to him the basics of science, the basics of physics. So what do? You can't wait till he's 20 years old to then start teaching him about the periodic table. You can't wait till he's an adult to start explaining to him or her what the atomic energy is all about. So what do? What happened to all of us in school, if you remember? So your teacher came in and showed you on a children's level what exactly it means. So what do? They have basically different colored balls that represent the interaction between protons, neutrons, and electrons. Remember that? Right? A green, a yellow, and a blue. Different balls. Now obviously as an adult we understand that's not it. So this is watered down, distilled to the level of a child that they can understand it. That's what we need to do based on their limit to their level of understanding. And so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way for us to get a glimpse into the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, while it is so beyond our comprehension and beyond our understanding, He distilled it. And the way He distilled His essence is by giving us the Torah. The Torah is, the way the Svarim talk about it, the mashal, that is almost the parable, the watered-down version of all of us being able to catch a glimpse of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really all about. And that truly is the essence of what Talmud Torah is supposed to be for all of us. The Rambam very famously wrote, what he refers to as the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna. Now, we all take it as a given. You look in the back of the Siddur, and we have 13 principles of faith. Now, first of all, many people don't know that those were authored by the Rambam. They were put together, compiled by the Rambam. But what's more important is, we all take it as a given that there is such an idea of Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna. And the truth is, at the time, this was an extremely controversial statement of the Rambam. There were some who disagreed with the selection of the Rambam. For example, just one example that comes to mind. The Rambam writes, anyone who believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body, that he has fingers, that he has eyes, is an apikoros. You're a non-believer. And the Ravid says, Rabbi Rambam, I love you very much and I respect your position. But I'd like to point out to you that there were many great people who came before you, and there will be many great people who will come after you who believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just this entity that we have no understanding of, but he is in fact, perhaps, sometimes able to reveal himself in a physical form. And therefore, he says, how can you say that anyone who believes that is an apikoros? So again, there are theological challenges with the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna, and that's something that the Rishonim talk about. Is it really the way the Rambam set it up, or maybe a different set of principles? Okay, that's one area of controversy. A different area of controversy, I believe that Tashbetz in his Tshuva writes that he disagrees with the whole premise of the Rambam. Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna means there are 13 principles of faith that are considered to be Ikar. What does Ikar mean? By definition, it means these are main, primary. What does that mean? The inverse? Means that the others are tafel, means that they are secondary. How can you dare say, ask the Rishonim, how can you dare say that there's one aspect of Limud HaTorah that is Iker, there's one aspect of Jewish life that is more important than others? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs. So how can the Rambam say, if you believe in these 13 principles, you're going to have the opportunity to be a great Jew? And if you don't believe in these 13 principles, then you have problems. What do you mean? If you don't believe in any part of the Torah, you have problems. So what does it mean that there are Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna? Does that mean that there's some part of Jewish life that's tafel? That can't be. So that's the question. Again, very heavily debated, very rich discussion, not at all for our discussion now, but something to think about. Be it as it may, the Rambam very clearly lays out for us that in his opinion, there are Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna. If you look in the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmuna, number 9 is a very important one. I mean, I guess I should say all of them are extremely important. But number 9 is relevant to our discussion. Where the Rambam says, we all have to believe that Zos HaTorah lo tehe mochlefes, that the Torah is immutable, the Torah is something that is here for all eternity, the Torah will never change, the Torah has been given down from one generation to the next, it started with Moshe Rabbeinu, it will continue to be transmitted, v'zos HaTorah lo tehe mochlefes. Now the Rambam proves it. How does the Rambam prove that this is true? How do we know that the Torah is never going to change? Says the Rambam, we learn it from a pasuk in Sefer Malachi. The Navi Malachi writes, Ani Hashem lo shinisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about himself, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo shinisi, I have not changed. Now that's a very interesting proof that the Rambam brings. He's talking about the immutability of Torah. He's talking about the fact that Torah is eternal, that Torah will never change. And the proof that he brings is, Ani Hashem lo shinisi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about himself that he has never changed. And the answer is, it is one and the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never changed, and as a result of that, the Torah, which is the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what he represents, has never changed either. And that really is the experience that we have when we learn Torah. The Gemara Maseches Baba Kama has a very fascinating story, a very compelling story. The Gemara tells us that on one occasion, there was a Roman emperor who had some strange feeling that there was discrimination in Jewish law against the non-Jews. So as we know, halacha is all-encompassing. The halacha tells us how we should react bein adam l'chaveiro, how we should respond bein adam l'makom, how do we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how do we do everything in our lives? Now, obviously, when we talk about Hilchos Nezikin, which means damages between one human being and another, or one's property and another person's property, so the halacha doesn't only talk about what happens when you have two Jews involved, but what happens when you have a Jew and a non-Jew. So the example that the Gemara gives is, if my ox gores somebody else's ox, so what happens? Now you'll say, that's totally irrelevant, because when does it happen? Happens to be last week when I was in Montana. I saw some crazy things. They actually do have human beings fighting with oxen. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Totally insane. Ever seen such a thing? Absolutely crazy. Thursday night, the whole community comes out. Human beings fighting with oxen. Crazy. Anyway, I said after I watched that, never again will I say the bracha of Shaloh Asani Goy with as little kavanah as I've been saying it until now. Unbelievable. It was unbelievable to watch such a thing. People are willing to risk their lives to go into an arena, to have their whole community celebrating them, to fight with an ox. Like, do they not know what an ox can do to them? Anyway, not the point of my being here. But the Gemara gives the example of an ox goring another ox. But obviously, that's just one example. And today, we can put it into our terms, which are, my car hit somebody else's car. And what do? How much do I have to pay? Was it my fault? How intentional was it? Was it an accident? How much was it the other person's fault? Was the other person a Jew or a non-Jew? And the Gemara does distinguish between what the halacha would be in terms of payment, whether I hit another Jew, or if I hit the property of a non-Jew. Okay, so the Roman emperor had a feeling that there was some discrimination there. He didn't fully understand, he didn't know how to read the text of the Gemara, but he did have some suspicious feeling that there was something strange about the distinction that is drawn between Jewish property that is damaged and non-Jewish property that is damaged. So he called in a number of the Chachamim. He calls in a number of the great Jewish leaders, and the Gemara describes that he puts them into a room and he says, I'd like you to please tell me, what is Jewish law? And does it distinguish, does it discriminate between whether you have damaged another Jew or whether you've damaged a non-Jew? Okay, now I ask you, if you were one of the people on that panel who was asked to please explain to the Roman emperor whether or not there was a distinction and whether there's discrimination against a non-Jew whose property is damaged, what would you have responded? What would you have said? You have two options. You can say the truth, which is, yes, the halacha does discriminate and get killed. Or you can lie and say, no, the halacha does not discriminate at all and save your life and the life of the entire Jewish community. So which one would it be? Yeah?
I don't think that it's a lie saying that halacha doesn't discriminate, because I don't think that's discrimination.
Okay, so that's advanced Talmud. But let's talk simple here, right? It's clearly discrimination if you read it just on the surface level, right? So here are my two options. Either lie and save your life and the Jewish community's lives, or say the truth and jeopardize your own life and everybody else's as well. Yeah?
You're going to lie. Don't lie about
it. Exactly. So we know the Torah says, Pikuach nefesh is docha kol haTorah kula. We know that human life is the most important value. And that takes precedence to everything. While it's important, midvar sheker tirchak, you should always be truthful, you should always be an upstanding citizen, you should always do the right thing. While all of that are very important Jewish values, Jewish life is more important than anything else. Life is more important than anything else. And therefore, if by lying I'm going to be able to save my life, then of course I'm going to lie. So what does it mean? Why did the Chachamim stand up and say the truth when they knew that they could be killed? Perhaps they could jeopardize the lives of so many other Jews in their community by saying the truth. Why would you say the truth? Why would you do that? So this is the question of the Maharshal. The Maharshal is very bothered by the Gemara, that the story doesn't add up, the story doesn't make sense. And the answer the Maharshal gives is so compelling. He says, while it's true that Pikuach Nefesh Doche Kol HaTorah Kula, while it's true that the most important value is Jewish life itself, and that will be over and above anything else that one is ever confronted with, the Gemara does say there are three exceptions to the rule. What are the three exceptions to the rule? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. What does that mean? It means, if somebody comes to me and says, either you serve Avodah Zarah or I'm going to kill you, what am I supposed to do? I have to be willing to give up my life because Avodah Zarah is considered to be so fundamentally terrible as a Jew that I have to be willing even to give up my life instead of serving Avodah Zarah. And similarly, if somebody comes to me and says, I'd like you to go and kill somebody else. If you don't murder that other person, I'm going to kill you. So the Gemara says, Shvichas Damim is such an awful thing to do. Murdering somebody is so terrible that it would even override my ability to save my own life. So we have three examples. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim are considered in a category of their own, in a league of their own, and they are more important than life itself. Writes the Maharshal, we can perhaps argue that a distortion of any part of Torah is a subcategory of Avodah Zarah. The same way I would have to give up my life not to serve Avodah Zarah, argues the Maharshal, I would be obligated to give up my life not to distort one aspect of Torah. Why? Because if you believe that the entirety of Torah is really all-encompassing of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a description of who the Ribono Shel Olam is, then by distorting it, you're basically changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're saying, I don't believe in this God anymore, because you are distorting a piece of His essence. And therefore, says the Maharshal, to uphold the validity of Torah and the eternal nature of what Torah is considered Yahar Gval Yavar. That's one of the things that we can add to this list where we say one would have to give up their life for. That is why when the Chachamim were asked by the Roman Emperor to come into a room and to have a discussion about whether or not the Torah discriminates, they were not allowed to lie. Because the same way you cannot do anything when it comes to Avodah Zarah, even if it means perhaps subjecting myself to the death penalty, the same goes for a distortion of Torah itself. That's a very powerful interpretation and a very powerful statement. Again, gives us an understanding of what it means to learn Torah. You know, one of the most fundamental psukim that every Jew needs to know is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But we're so familiar with it, we say it every day, twice a day, that perhaps we don't always think about the obvious question. So we talk about Avas Hashem, we talk about having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we begin by saying, V'ahavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chal levavcha, v'chal nafshecha, v'chal miyodecha. We should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should go to the end of the world to love Him. B'chal nafshecha, v'chal miyodecha, everything I have, I should show my love and express it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the next words? V'hayu, hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. What does that mean? Nefesh HaChaim asks, what is the connection? We just said, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. I should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, I can jump up and down, I can sing, I can go to a kumzitz, I can feel really good. Isn't that the way to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. No. The Pasuk tells us what the answer is. You want to come to a love and an understanding and appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents and who He is for all of us? The way to come to that understanding is by learning the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah. It's the only way to become acquainted with who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what He means to all of us in our lives. And that is the opportunity that we all have together as we will learn through many, many different sugyas in Halacha during the year. And I'm excited for this opportunity. And I hope that we'll have the chance to not only have an appreciation for what the dry halacha might be, and I don't mean dry in the sense of dry. I think halacha is extremely exciting. It's cutting edge, and it should be for all of us. But I think that it goes so far beyond that. Our understanding of everything after we learn Torah has to be different. We need to become different in our perspective once we engage in the act of Talmud Torah. I often tell over the story about a big darshan who got up and he spoke somewhere and just roused the crowd, and everybody was so into it, and somebody comes over to him after and says, you know, I really appreciated everything you just said. It was life-changing. I'm just not the same person. It was amazing. Everything you just spoke about just inspired me so profoundly. I was so impacted by everything you said, and the fact that you brought it down to my level and you really spoke my language and said everything in a way that I could really appreciate it, just so life-altering. Just that one question. There was one piece that I really couldn't fully understand. Everything else I got. You kept talking about this, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just didn't get that. Like, what is that? Everything else I understood. Yeah, so what did you understand? And I often think about that. So we shake a lulav and we blow shofar and we daven every day and we learn Torah and we sit in the sukkah and we light Hanukkah candles and we keep Shabbos and all these different things and we keep kosher and all of that is wonderful. So you understood everything except you forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of that. It's possible to live our whole lives doing everything that a good Jew is supposed to do and having no appreciation or understanding for what it means to have a God, for what it means to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch. That's what Liman HaTorah gives us the opportunity to experience and to think about. Every day, before we engage in the act of Talmud Torah, we talk about the Birchas HaTorah. And it's important to make a Birchas HaTorah every day. The Gemara actually learns it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. When I call out the name of Hashem, we should all give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. From there, the Gemara learns Ki Shem Hashem Ekra means when we are about to engage in learning Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu, let us give praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, how do those two things connect? The answer is it's one and the same. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. When I call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Limud HaTorah. That's exactly what the experience is supposed to be. Just look at the bracha itself. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'niya anachnu v'tze'etza'inu v'tze'etza'i amcha beis Yisrael kulanu yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha lishma. We look forward not only to us having the experience and opportunity of learning Torah, but also kulanu yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha lishma. It's exactly what the bracha means. By learning Torah, we will come to be people who are Yodei Shemecha, who understand your essence. We have no other way. Gadol Hashem u'muhul al-miyod v'ledulaso ein cheker. There is no other way of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. The only way to come to that is by studying and engaging in the Torah's Hashem. And that is what's most important. I'll just close off with one final point. I know it's boiling hot in here, but we're now just a few days into Chodesh Elul. And obviously the focus at this time of the year is supposed to be a little bit different. We should be having Hirhuri Tshuva. We should be thinking more deeply and seriously about life in general. But you look in the Shmona Esrei. At the very beginning of every bracha, there's one word on top of the bracha that basically classifies, categorizes what that bracha is all about. So which bracha in Shmona Esrei talks about Tshuva? Ashivenu. Now what's the next word? What? Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasech. When we talk about Tshuva, when we talk about returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understanding what our relationship with Him is all about, it's Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasech. The way to come back to an understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and what He needs to represent in all of our lives is by going through a very careful study of His Torah, is by experiencing His essence, by coming to know Him, by coming to appreciate Him, by learning the values and the moral code and everything that the Torah represents for all of us. You know, the Rama writes in the very first Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph, Si'if Aleph. The Rama says, Lo yizbayish adam mepnei hamaligim alav, ba'avodas Hashem yizbarach. We live in a world where people are always looking around and sharing and judging and comparing, and it's very hard to live and to make decisions in a vacuum. It's very hard to make decisions without other people judging us in either direction. The way my father often says it is, imagine if you were a very successful business entrepreneur and you came up with a wild, crazy idea that nobody else had ever worked on before. Cryptocurrency. I'm sure when it started, whoever it was that came up with this idea, I just don't know who it was, but I'm sure people looked at him like he was crazy. Are you going to waste your time coming up with this idea, cryptocurrency? Who's ever going to do this? And I'm sure there are 1,000 examples of that, of people in business who came up with brilliant new ideas, a new way to make money, and everybody made fun of them, and yet they didn't care because they knew this is my path to success. And I could let all those people around me laugh as much as they want. I'll have the last laugh in the end because I'm going to be successful. That's the way successful people live. They don't just disregard everybody. They have people around them who obviously they respect and they take advice from and whose opinions they take very seriously. But for the people who are really not helpful in their dream becoming a reality, they ignore it and they don't allow it to stand in their way. And that's what it means when the Rama says, Lo yizbayish adam mepnei hamaligim alav. A person should never be ashamed of those who are going to ridicule or judge the decisions that we make in life when it comes to Avodas Hashem. We have the opportunity to learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, to come by doing that, to come to an understanding and an appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to mean to all of us in our lives. There's no other way to come to this sense of understanding. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege that we have. And we should say every day, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how lucky we are that we have the opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this deeply profound way, that we have the opportunity to observe His Torah and Mitzvos, Asher Bachar Bana Mikala Amim, B'Nasan Lanu Estar Raso. And we look forward throughout the course of our learning together to come to be those people who can say, Kulanu Yodei Shemecha. Not only will we come to know and understand the laws, the halacha that we're going to study, but also, more importantly, to come to be the people who are Yodei Shemecha, who have a deep appreciation and understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in all of our lives. So